As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison?
Yes?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Guess what we have on tonight's show?
Woo!
We got some woo tonight.
Is Bigfoot appearing tonight? Have you finally caught him?
Well, we have a Bigfoot story, or at least something which sure sounds a lot like Bigfoot. Josh, Mr. Cutchin, will be joining us tonight. Josh and I will be talking with Alex, who has this pretty intense encounter in the woods that fits right in to where the footprints end. In fact, I think Josh says, I don't know if it's in this first part of the interview or in the second part, but basically he says this encounter could have been one of the case studies that we put in where the footprints end. And in fact, if we'd have known about it in time, this probably would have gone in there because it's kind of rings all the bells for where the footprints end. So, of course, I absolutely love it. A lot of strangeness going on. It's Bigfoot and Bigfoot-like things, but it's also strange lights and shadow people and all kinds of
dreams.
Other stuff. Dreams, yeah, it all works into it. Before we get to Alex, want to mention our Patreon. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you like what we do, if you like the content we bring you and you want more, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's different tiers of support there. You can go check it out. But no matter what tier of support you choose, our patrons get 2 full extra episodes of Strange Familiars every month. Again, you can check it out at patreon.com/strangefamiliars. I want to thank our patrons because we could not do Strange Familiars without them. If you can help us out, you get more content. Definitely helps us with the show. All right, without further ado, let's get to the
woo!
And I rhymed it there, so I get extra points for that.
I'd like to welcome Josh Cutchin back to the show. Josh, how you doing?
Ah, the peanut butter to your chocolate. I'm here. I'm happy to be here again. It's been a while.
And Josh has brought with him Alex, who has, I've just read the email, and it's a pretty amazing Bigfoot account. I can't wait to hear it told and ask questions, though. How are you doing tonight, Alex?
Good, good. I'm glad you guys responded to that email, because I have definitely sent out a couple, and I feel like honestly, when I try to retell this whole encounter tale, I don't really get a lot of responses that seem like they believe what I'm saying, or I don't know. It's maybe I'm just being insecure, but it seems like oftentimes I feel like I need to leave details out because I don't know. It just seems a little too ridiculous.
I've had people tell me that before. In fact, I've had people tell me that they've told their stories on other podcasts, and the other podcasts have edited some of the stuff out just to make it seem like more of a traditional Bigfoot story.
Right. But knowing you guys, and I've read both those books, they're excellent, by the way.
Thank you.
I know that you guys appreciate the strange details, so I decided to leave them in this time. So
absolutely. So this happened in North Carolina, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep, this was August 17th of 2020 in Uwari National Forest.
Uwari National Forest that's in the mountains there?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours west of Durham. And I guess I'll just start telling what...
Yeah, just go ahead and roll into your story, that's fine.
Sure. So I guess like a little context is kind of important. Yeah, I think it's important to say that I was not familiar with any of this phenomena beforehand. I had seen a UFO about like 3 years prior to this, and it sort of erased itself from my memory almost. Like I hadn't thought about it again until this encounter happened, honestly, which is kind of weird. But apart from that, like nothing really has interested me in like the paranormal field exactly. It was always more of like a novelty for me. Like I watched Ancient Aliens and the History Channel and all that, and it was not really a thing that I believed in necessarily. I always kind of found it interesting because it just seemed kind of kooky and like these people actually believe this, like,
right,
you know what I mean? But yeah, so that's a little context. The only reason I decided to go camping was because I was in a place where I was effectively like trapped in a house with my roommate and his girlfriend during the COVID lockdown, and I was unemployed at the time, and I just needed something to do. For whatever reason, I just decided that I was gonna go camping. And the only reason I chose this particular spot was I had decided that I wanted to go camping in like a wilderness area. I didn't really want to do like a campground necessarily. I wanted to like, I don't know, test myself physically, I guess. Because again, this was a point in time where I was fairly depressed and not in a great space mentally.
Those are interesting and important notes.
I'm aware of that now, which is very interesting.
Had you been camping in general before, or was this just literally your first time camping?
Yeah, I used to go with my dad in like the Blue Ridge Mountains and all that, so it's not like my first time, but I was definitely not experienced necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry, I just need to like kind of calm myself down before I retell this. There's always like this residual anxiety whenever I talk about this. Okay, so I decided to go camping in Uwari National Forest. I don't have like a specific location in mind. You know, I'm just winging it essentially. I bring a tarp. I don't bring a regular tent. I don't know what I'm doing essentially. I grab all that, put it in my car, start driving. It's around like 2 o'clock when I pass by a sign for like a camping area. And I decide like, all right, I'm just going to park here and I'm going to walk into the woods and just like set up my shelter wherever and then just stay there for like a day or two and just come home and I'll, for some reason I thought that would make me feel better or something. I don't know. I just, again, for whatever reason, I had this like innate desire to just go out into nature and I don't know, just stay out there for a couple days. There's no real reason necessarily, which I find odd. So anyway, I get there. The first thing that happens when I step out of my car is that I notice that the woods are completely silent. It was so weird that my ears were ringing. It was so quiet. I did not understand why that was. And initially,
and what time of year was this again?
This is August, so like.
Oh yeah, so it should have been noisy with insects and everything else. Yeah.
Exactly. No bugs, no birds, no wind, just complete silence. It was the weirdest thing. So my initial reaction was like, okay, what's going on here? I try to rationalize it basically by just writing it off as inexperience. You know, I haven't been in the woods for a couple years. You know, this is fairly novel territory for me at this point in my life. So, you know, I just kind of ignore it. as I'm walking down the trail that I find, it's becoming stranger and stranger because it's not going away. You know, like I kept thinking, you know, at some point I'm going to hear a bird or an animal or an insect or something, but nothing for at least like 20 minutes. I'm just walking down the trail and I'm just trying to recount because there are so many small details. I'm trying to get everything in here.
No worries.
It's been a while since I've like verbalized this too, so it's just going to take me a minute.
Yeah, no worries.
So I'm walking down the trail. The first like living thing that I see are two deers, and they look at me and they're up on this hill. They let out this like weird squawking noise, which I've never heard a deer make before. It's kind of weird. They look at me and then they just like run off. And I think like, all right, at least I saw something living, you know, like this silence is so I know you guys have had your own experiences. I don't know the details exactly, but maybe you've experienced this kind of tinnitus ringing in the ears sensation before.
It's been more like suddenly I just noticed like everything's going quiet.
This was like as soon as I stepped out of the car.
Yeah, that seems even weirder. Like it's one thing if like you're just there and like suddenly things go silent, but for it to just step out of the car and it's already quiet, that seems even weirder.
Right. So yeah, I see these deer and it's kind of in a reaffirming moment just because I, you know, the silence was broken by something. But
yeah.
It immediately comes back and I'm just like, all right, I'm not going to go back to my car because I'm feeling weirded out because I don't want this trip to be a complete failure. I arrive to this area and it's about a mile down the trail across a bridge. And it's in between like two little streams and there are like some big rocks nearby. And I think like, all right, this is as good a place as any. I'm still feeling fairly intense anxiety because I'm just so weirded out by this sensation that I'm feeling in my head, which is totally novel. I've never had anything like this happen before. I get the sensation that I'm being looked at. And obviously like most everybody has had this feeling before, and you know, there's some ideas by certain people, like Rupert Sheldrake in particular, that think, you know, that's evidence for like some kind of extrasensory perception sometime. But anyways, this feeling that I had was so intense that it made me at the time just wonder what is going on right now. Cause it's like, I've been out in the woods before, like a lot when I was a kid, especially, you know, this is not something new to me. I've been in the wilderness before, but never have I ever experienced anything like this sensation. And it's like, you know, the feeling of eyes on the back of your head, but like times 10. You know, it is so acute and so powerful that it's like I really wanted to turn back and just go home at that point because I was feeling freaked out. But because I had promised myself that I'm going to complete this task of going camping that I had planned for and, you know, prepared for a while, like I'm gonna stick with it, and I'm just basically, you know, being a baby. I don't want to just back out because I feel uncomfortable. You know, that was kind of the whole point of me going, was to experience discomfort. Anyway, so I kind of just push it into the back of my head that I'm being looked at, you know, by something. I know it, I feel it. Gonna start to construct my shelter, which I had like researched on YouTube how to make like a A-frame tent basically out of a tarp. So I get some sticks and I start constructing it, and I cut down like a little sapling, and I get this intense feeling of like, oh man, I did not need to kill that tree. Like, and you know, I'm not like a intense environmentalist. Obviously I care very much about the planet and the environment and all that, but you know, I can cut down a tree and not feel bad about it. But for whatever reason, when I'm building this tent, I feel so sad about like cutting down this little sapling, and I don't know. I just don't understand it. You know, these emotions, these feelings, this eerie, intense silence. I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's such a strange sensation. And again, I'm just trying to rationalize it. Before any of this happened, I never believed in anything strange. Nothing strange has really happened to me before, except for that UFO that I saw. Again, there are just so many little details that I have to remember because some of them are important, and it's...
Yeah. Yeah, no worries.
This was over like an 18-hour period of time where I'm stuck with these beings or whatever they were for.
Wow.
So I'm just in the introductory phase still right now. I'm So I'm constructing my shelter. I get this intense wave of emotion out of nowhere, you know, just for like cutting down a tree that shouldn't, you know, that shouldn't stimulate that kind of response, but it did for whatever reason. I feel really bad about it, but I still use it to construct my shelter, and I try to like replant it kind of just by like digging a hole and using it as a post for the A-frame shelter essentially. And I'm like, all right, that's now I feel better about it. I get in my little tent and just to make sure it's good, and you know, it's fine. It's not the best thing ever, but I get out, I start walking around, and then this sensation of being watched becomes even stronger. And I'm like, okay, like this is severely starting to freak me out at this point. Cause it's like, I don't know. Like, again, I've been out in the woods alone many, many times. There's been nothing like this that has ever happened before, especially not this kind of like adrenaline nervous system response that I guess I would describe it as. I don't know. I just felt like my whole body was being flooded with some kind of energy or electricity or something. I really don't know how to describe it other than that. Yeah, at this point, this is when the, I guess I'll just say, like, messages start. And, okay, so obviously you guys know what this is, but at the time, I'm thinking, like, am I having, like, a, you know, some kind of psychotic break? Is there something wrong with my brain right now? Is this an aneurysm? Is this what people call schizophrenia? Or, you know, I'm just trying to rationalize what is happening right now. And what's transpiring in my brain is that I am receiving a communication from something. And what it's saying is, and it's not in words, it's more of just like a complete thought that has entered my brain out of nowhere that is completely independent from my own stream of consciousness. I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's no way of me proving that, but what it says is, in essence, is powerful magician, powerful warrior, over and over again, like recursively, and it just keeps repeating. And obviously I don't know what the hell, like what's going on, and I'm starting to freak out.
No, do you mind if I just pause and ask you something?
Please.
So you're not hearing the words, in other words, in your head.
Yeah.
And you're not getting the image, necessarily, of this.
Images were later. I'll tell you about that.
Okay, all right. But yeah. No, I'm trying to establish this because when people talk about mind speak, I think some people get literal speak, you know? And yeah. I've had, in nothing to do with Bigfoot, this is in what may or may not have been a quote-unquote abduction thing. But I try to explain it to people, and it's very difficult to explain that. You just get these ideas, I guess, that aren't yours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what happened. They were independent from my own stream of thought,
mm-hmm.
which is so bizarre, and it's so like difficult to explain to people who haven't encountered it or like experienced anything in this realm, whether you want to call it mystical or paranormal or whatever. You know, it's just so. Oftentimes when I retell this to people who are more grounded in like, you know, consensus reality, I guess it's, they often write it off as like, oh, you're just active imagination. You know, you're just by yourself. It's like, no, dude.
If you don't mind my interjecting, and I hope this doesn't distract you or take you off on a tangent, but like literally, I can't emphasize this enough, but like literally on the border of the Uwari National Forest is the Town Creek Mound, which is one of the more prominent North Carolina mounds that exist.
Wait, I didn't write this down. Sorry. That's crazy. Okay, so I want to tell you something real quick. Why I emailed you was because I was recommended one of your YouTube videos just on like the front page. Like I guess I had like a bunch of fairy stuff on my search history or something, but I saw your video on like the Franklin, North Carolina mound.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a comment where someone mentioned owls or something. I was like, oh crap, I need to eat right now. Cause like I had just had a very intense owl thing happen to me that night. And it's like, this is not a coincidence. I need to write.
There you go. I think that it's really easy to slip into like, you know, haunted Indian burial ground tropes. But I do think that there is something about, especially the monuments, the mounds, you know, and Town Creek has over almost like 600 burials there, if memory serves. And what's more is it was clearly a site of shamanic practice, like a lot of the mounds were. But Town Creek, this is especially evident because there's a painting inside.
Dude,
that depicts a therianthrope, half stag, half human, and half dog, half human.
Wait, can you do you mind spelling that for me?
Yeah, Town Creek, just Town, T-O-W-N, and then Creek, two separate words. And it's literally like, depending on where you are in the forest, you could be no less than, you know, 3 miles from it, you know. Or if you're at the far northern end, you're like 30 miles from it, but still, it's very close.
Oh my god. Okay, that's cool. I did not know that. This is why I wanted to talk to you guys, because like, I need information. So that's awesome. Thank you for telling me that. So I'm having these like very intense, very strange, independent thoughts that are entering my brain that are saying, in essence, like, we know who you are. And again, this is obvious. This is not like literal. This is more just like my interpretation of the emotions or whatever you want to call this information that's transmitted. But yeah, it's basically saying we know who you are. And then also like powerful warrior, powerful magician, which I hate saying that, but that's literally what it was. Cause it's a little self-aggrandizing, but that's literally just what it was.
You thought that was referring to you when they were the
I mean, yeah. I think so.
Okay. I didn't know the context. I didn't know if it was saying, you know, whatever it was, whatever's giving you this message, it was referring to itself or to you. So yeah. Okay. Cool.
This was like very personal. There's no really other way for me to describe it, but yeah, just very intimate and very personal information that this thing was trying to transmit, I guess. So this is obviously freaking me out intensely. I basically just start going for a walk, and I sit down on this rock in a stream, and I'm getting like this weird tinnitus ringing in the ear sensation, this weird like electrical bodily, I don't even know what to describe it as, like these shocks going up and down my spine. Later on, like I started doing research into like Kundalini stuff, and you know, I'm not saying I believe any of that, but it's just interesting to see like the parallels between a lot of magical and mystical systems and like this spinal energetic sensation that I'm feeling. But anyway, I'm sitting on this rock. These messages just keep coming, and it's like, again, it's more of like a download, I guess. Like, I kind of condensed it down to a couple key points of like the magician and like the we know who you are thing. But it was over a period of like a couple, maybe like 20 minutes or so. So it took a while for me to like fully absorb whatever was happening. Once it stops, I'm like, okay, that was extremely weird. I guess I need to go to a therapist or like a psychiatrist when I get home, because that was like incredibly concerning from a like rational standpoint, you know, or like from a I don't like this word either, but like uninitiated standpoint, I guess. Before I knew what this was, I was trying to pathologize it, I guess, if that makes sense. So anyway, it abates for a little bit. I get back in my tent and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna stay in here. I'm gonna go to sleep as soon as possible, and then I'm just gonna wake up and go home immediately and then get myself checked out, because that was incredibly strange. And this is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when this is happening. So again, this entire day and night, there's weird stuff happening, which increases in intensity, which I will get to in a second. This is when it gets a little scary. So I get in my tent. Again, it's middle of the day, like 2:30 in the afternoon. The weird sensations start again, and I'm like, okay, do I just need to leave, or am I like, you know, I'm starting to panic a little bit, because I don't feel totally in control of the situation, you know? Like, I'm having this sensation where I feel like I'm being watched. I'm having these strange bodily sensations. I'm having these bizarre, intuitive, you know, thoughts that are not my own, and I'm beginning to feel extreme fear and anxiety. Like, the fear that I am feeling in this situation is like, it's unreal. Like, I've never, and that's why it's kind of hard for me to talk about, is because every time I think about this, I kind of go back and I relive that sensation of just feeling completely helpless, completely like stalked by some kind of predator. And another reason why I don't really talk about this a lot is because whenever I bring it up to people and they dismiss it, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm telling you something that is extremely traumatic, extremely frightening, and you're just dismissing it and laughing at me. So, I mean, that's a big reason why I don't talk about this with anybody, so, except for you guys and other people who know. So,
no, I get that totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fear that I'm feeling is like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it is like ingrained so far deep in my DNA that I feel like whatever this phenomena is extremely ancient and is like part of being a human, or I don't know, something about like, there was something about like DNA involved. And this is like, I don't know, my intuition at the time, obviously I don't know exactly what that means, but like, it just felt like, yeah, this panic and this fear that I'm experiencing has been experienced before by like cavemen or something. That's the only way I can describe it. Like, it is so archaic and ancient that's, I don't know, that's just what I felt at the time. And I'm just like lying on my belly in this like shoddily constructed tent structure, and I'm just feeling completely helpless, completely vulnerable, getting ready to basically just leave, you know. And that is when I hear this noise. And what it is a okay, so obviously you guys know what the deal is, but it was a giant monkey. And you know, obviously, like, when I God, like, even saying that now, it's just like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but that is what happened, man. It's like, it was a giant monkey sound, and it was so loud and so big that it was, again, like, whatever it was huge, you know? Like, there's no possible way a human being could have made this noise.
So this is a vocalization.
Yes. At the time, I'm thinking, like, giant monkey noise? You know, like, what possibly makes a sound like that out in the woods of North Carolina? And my mind never thinks of Bigfoot. You know, that is just not something that I had ever considered to be a possibility. Obviously, you know, when I get home, I start doing research of like indigenous animals of Uwari, and it's like, okay, what could have made that noise? And finally, after like a couple hours of me researching like boar noises or like cougar noises, it kind of just dawns on me, like, wait, don't people believe in Bigfoot? You know, and I start Googling like Bigfoot noises, and I come across the Sierra sounds, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with.
Oh yeah.
And the whoop that I heard was exactly the same, like 100% the same noise, the exact same noise, down to like the syllable, like the whoop. You know, like the double-syllabic whoop or whatever you want to call it. And that was a very disturbing moment in my life, was that kind of dawning realization that I had encountered a Sasquatch, I guess. So anyway, going back to the woods, I hear this noise literally half a second after that whoop. It starts to pour down rain. And I don't know if that's related or not, like, but for some reason, like, intuitively, I feel like it does. Or whatever, I don't know why, but it was just too much of a, I don't know, it was just so strange how kind of the rhythm that it took, you know, it's the whoop, whoop, and then immediately starts to pour rain.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. Josh, you want to talk about rain and paranormal encounters?
I mean, rain and storms more generally have always been sort of seen as a transition point into the other world. Like, you know, the classic example that I always use is Dorothy's tornado with the Wizard of Oz. But also, you know, the Fae folk, that was one of the ways that they traveled, was on storms, and the Wild Hunt would often travel on storms as well. So this makes a lot of sense. And then I'm sure that there's some people, you know, screaming at screaming at their earbuds or screaming at their phones saying, you know, missing 411, because that's another thing too. But
that was the first thing that I got recommended to watch, was that Missing 411, the Haunted documentary, when I got back, because I posted what happened on Reddit. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you could have been abducted. It's like, all right, stop. Like, don't freak out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more important or more interesting, at least, as like that sort of transitory inflection point when you're sort of breaking through that barrier. Or somebody's like, you know, sitting there saying, well, you know, when the portal manifests, there's, you know, electrons in the air that agitate a storm and stuff.
Nobody knows exactly what's going on.
But for me, it's going back to that medieval literature and saying, oh no, the transportive storm to the other world is sort of what you're dealing with. Yeah.
Throw you off course, sorry. But you might find this interesting. Very recently, there's an area that I go to called Hex Hollow, where I've had multiple weird experiences. And very recently I was there it's the first time I did a solo hike there in over a year, I think. It's been a long time. And I'm hiking down this trail, just kind of make it brief, and I hear wood knocks coming from the direction where I just was. These were not woodpeckers. I had my recorder on, and I heard wood knocks. The reason I was taking this trail is I had found rocks, like, shoved in trees on this trail before, and I was like, I had been there in a while, and I was like, hey, I'll go see if those rocks are still there. They weren't. I replaced them. I don't know if that was a good idea or not. Immediately after replacing them, I hear these wood knocks. I turned on my recorder before that and said, like, hey, I was just kind of doing a little segment for my listeners. Mm-hmm. And I hear the wood knocks. I caught them on the recorder. You can hear them. And immediately after hearing these wood knocks, the wind picks up. And it was a dead, it was just a warm, dead day. You know, there was just no wind at all. After hearing these wood knocks, wind picks up. I heard them a couple more times go down the trail, and there's a dead cat right in the middle of the trail, completely, like, the whole thing was just like this eerie, weird experience. But it was just like you're saying, it was like right on the heels of these wood knocks comes this wind. So,
at least it wasn't a raccoon, the Tim Renner kryptonite.
It was in the same area, though, Josh. It was.
Oh, nice.
It's probably about a quarter of a mile away from the raccoon attack area. Sorry, Alex.
Yeah. No worries. I appreciate the injections. It keeps me, focused, I guess. Or allows me to think about what I'm going to say next.
Sure.
I actually forgot something. See, this is why it's so difficult for me to talk about this, because there's so many things that happen. Like,
I've described it myself like a spider web.
Literally.
It's not linear. It's a spider web, and it's so hard because you remember something. Go, oh, wait, before that happened, this happened. And I get it completely.
That's also why, again, I don't like talking about this with people who don't know what the deal is because, like, when I start doing it, it's like, oh, this big monkey, and it's like, oh, dude. If I heard myself speak without prior knowledge of any of this, like, oh, this guy's crazy. You know what I mean?
It's very hard to tell the stuff in a linear fashion. It's very difficult.
Exactly. So that's why I appreciate it so much for you guys listening. So what I forgot was, before I heard the monkey noise, before it started to rain, I had this extremely intense sensation of this, like, magnetic pull from the top of my head to something very high up in the sky. And I don't know how I knew that, you know? Like, I don't know how I could tell that I was energetically or magnetically connected to something up in the sky. It's just like, that's what it felt like, you know? I could just sense it for whatever reason. Again, like, all of these, like, bodily sensations, like this extra sensory stuff, has never really happened to me before. So it's all very novel. It's completely new and very overwhelming. But I feel like, for whatever reason, that's kind of an important detail, because it happened, like, right before all of the extremely weird stuff started to happen. So anyway, I feel this weird magnetic pull up in the sky. That stops. I immediately hear the whoop, and then it immediately starts to rain. And then I start to feel, I thought I was afraid before, but, like, this is, again, like, this fear is so intense, like, I can't even describe it, you know? I felt like I was about to be killed. I was about to be walked up to and just, like, grabbed and my neck broken and then eaten by something. Yeah, and I've never felt like a, you know, I'm a human being. I've never felt like, I don't want to say I've felt like a predator before, but that's normally what human beings are. They're at the top of the food chain.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So I've never felt other than that, is what I mean. Yeah. So this intense feeling of just complete helplessness, like I'm about to, this is my end, you know, I should not have come here. I'm about to die, basically. And that is when it's, whatever this is, starts to walk, like, around me, you know? Like, the noise that I heard was probably about, if I had to guess, maybe a quarter of a mile away. I mean, obviously, that's just an estimate. I didn't go out there and measure exactly, but it's, like, a rough estimate. And I start to hear footsteps from that area walking towards me. And it's bipedal on 2 feet. Again, like, I've heard what deer and boar and all those other critters sound like, and it can sound bipedal, but whatever this was distinctly on 2 feet. Like, I know that, you know, I didn't see it, but I heard it. I'm looking out of my tent at this area, and there's nothing. Whatever is making this noise is not visible, you know?
So your, like, tent is at just an A-frame. It's open on the ends.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's like a prism shape, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just open on 2 ends.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no fly or anything. It's your, yep, okay.
Yeah. So I have clear vision on both of my head and my feet area. For, like, pretty, yeah, it's a good viewport, basically. So whatever's making these footsteps is, like, either, you know, not there completely or just not visible, or I can't explain it. And it starts to walk around me, you know, in, like, a circle.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Throughout this entire period, before I get home after this incident, before I started to do research on this, I'm still trying to pathologize this. You know, like, obviously I can't leave now because it's the heaviest rain I've experienced in a long time. We just had a thunderstorm like a couple hours ago here, actually. But this is like incredibly intense, very heavy rain. Luckily, I'm in a position where nothing's going to like flood my tent or anything like that. But, you know, I can't just walk out of here in this weather, basically. So I'm stuck in this tent with this thing, this giant thing walking around me, and I'm just trying to figure out what is going on. So again, I keep trying to rationalize it, thinking like, all right, as soon as I get home, I'm going to go see a psychiatrist. Like, this is not good. I'm hearing things that aren't there. I'm like, you know, something's up for sure in my brain or something. But eventually it kind of dies down a little bit, like the footsteps stop. I'm just sitting in my tent in a state of like my nervous system is so amped up, like the adrenaline in my heart is racing, and it stays like that the entire time, basically. So after I get home, it's like my heart hurt almost because it was just pumping so fast for an extended period of time. Like, I don't think it's ever had to do that before, which is interesting. Yeah, the footsteps stop. After a little bit of time, I'm just peering out of my tent, just still trying to like find out what that possibly could have been. And I see this like little flash of light behind a tree, and it looks like a like little metallic, what I would imagine like a little coin on a string being reflected by the sun might look like if it was held up, you know, in that area. But again, like, you know, it's pouring rain, no lightning bugs are out, you know, no bugs period, as far as I could tell, no birds, no bugs, nothing that could have made that light. And it just kind of flashes on, flashes off, and then flashes on, flashes off on the other side of the tree, which is a very weird detail for whatever reason I often think back to. And then I never see it again. But again, like, as this is happening, when I see that light, it's like, what is, like, I can't, I'm just so confused, you know? I know I keep repeating this, but there's just nothing, I have no context for any of this. It's just so bizarre. So that happens, a little bit more time passes. It's about like maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's starting to get a little darker, not really, but I have this thought of like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't hear that giant monkey again. And as soon as I have that thought, it makes it again. It makes that same whooping sound, but this time it's a little different. It's got like 3 syllables in it. It's like, ooh, I can't even do it, but it's a little bit of a variation on that whooping sound, but it makes it, whatever this thing was, on the top of a hill, like in a completely different area, you know? So again, it's that same kind of synchronistic schedule of events. The timeline is so odd. You know, I have this thought and immediately it makes that noise. You know, that doesn't seem like it's a coincidence to me. It's the same thing with the rain, you know?
Right. Yeah.
No, these are all important factors to note. Absolutely. Yeah.
Correct. So I have that thought. It makes that noise. Again, like the fear response kicks in. Not that it ever stopped, but it starts to ramp up a little bit more. And whatever this thing is, it starts to walk down the hill towards me again. And it's like, oh no. Again, like I can't even describe this adrenaline, the fear. It was unreal. So hard to describe like the fear because it was so intense. And I know I keep expounding on that, but I think it's important just because this was 10 times the level of fear I've ever experienced in, you know, like a car accident or, you know, anything sort of traumatic in the human world. Mm-hmm. If that makes,
it's a fact. I think the first time Josh and I ever talked, I told a story that happened in the same place where that other story happened a couple years earlier, and a sequence of events happened, but at some point I was so afraid that my knees locked up. I was just hiking. I wasn't camping.
That just reminded me of something. I was like, I couldn't move.
Yeah.
I was so afraid I could not move a muscle. I was like paralyzed.
I wanted to run with every fiber of my being, and I couldn't.
It was like a dream where you're running, but you can't.
I couldn't move. I had a walking stick with me. I was leaning all my weight on it because I was completely locked up. So I don't know if it's exactly what you felt, but, you know, I feel like something similar, you know.
That's so strange. That's so weird.
Mine didn't end with a sighting or anything. I got the feeling that mine ended because whatever it was decided I wasn't ready at the time.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, that just reminds me of, like, yeah, there's just still so much more that happened that I want to get to.
Please.
Yeah, this thing is walking down the hill. I'm beginning to freak out again. I can't move. I'm paralyzed. Whatever. There was like this weird kind of, I don't know how else to describe it, but like there's this weird moment in time where it was, you know, 5 o'clock. I'm estimating. I didn't have my phone on me or my watch. Right, I had my phone on me, but it was in my backpack and turned off. But I didn't have any way of like telling time except for like looking at the light, essentially. So basically there was at one point it was broad daylight, you know, 5 o'clock, or, you know, like starting to get to evening time. And then the next moment it was like almost pitch black. And I've read about, you know, time dilation with alien abduction, things like that. And I don't know what happened. You know, it's just, maybe it was just sort of like the adrenaline that kind of causes some sort of strange time dilation, but, you know, before I knew it is what I'm trying to get at, it was completely dark. And when I say completely dark, the canopy there is fairly thick, so there was no light at all. I could not see the hand in front of my face. It was that dark.
Usually, and again, we talked about this in Where the Footprints End, when you're having these intense, like a car accident, say.
Yeah.
Things slow down. They don't speed up, you know?
Yeah. It was very weird.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there was something that happened that I don't remember. Mm. Maybe, I don't know. That's a concerning thought, but I don't really think about it that way anymore.
So if in the state of mind you were in, if it hadn't been raining so hard and if you hadn't been so, you know, almost paralyzed or literally paralyzed by the fear, would you have just left at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's suddenly it's dark and now you're like, well, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So this is what, you know, there are just so many details that make me think like whatever happened or whatever these things are, they know who I am. And this is a very personal, very like, I don't know what to call it other than like, I don't like saying mystical or any of that, but I just think that might be what it is. You know, mm-hmm. like there are too many factors that kept me in this spot, you know,
right.
the rain, the paralysis, the intense fear. I had to stay there, you know.
Wow.
This was something that had to happen. That is something that I think now, you know, obviously in the moment I'm like, I want to leave, like, please.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry I came here. This is, oh yeah, in my head, I was like, okay, I reached a point where like I'm kind of accepting that I'm about to die. And, you know, these are my last moments and like whatever this thing is, it can read my mind basically, you know, like obviously before I did any research, that would be something that I would never even consider actually thinking. But, you know, this is like, you know, when people are about to die, they start to become religious almost, that kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I start to think like, all right, this thing has displayed that it can inject thoughts into my head. It can possibly read my mind because it knew that I was thinking about the noise before it made it, like half a second later. So I start to think like these thoughts of, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I'm so sorry. I should not have come here. I realize that. I won't take anything. I won't do anything bad. This is why I bring up like the cutting down the tree part too, you know, because again, like those weird emotions that I started to feel when I did that were just, again, very acute. And I feel like are possibly related to this. Yeah, I just start to like project this thought towards whatever this thing is of like, yeah, just please don't hurt me. I'm sorry. You know, it's dark at this point, like pitch black. I am basically in like a sensory deprivation. And I start to have the thoughts again, these independent, clearly not my own thoughts. And this is a strange detail. I get this. I don't know how this came through exactly or how I knew this or how I intuited it, if that's a word. But they sounded in my head almost Native American. And, you know, I don't know how I know that. That's just kind of the feeling I had. You know, this felt very old, just very indigenous. And the message that it was transmitting this time is, we need you to spend the night here.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So there's more to it too. That's an extreme condensing of the message. The broader, more detailed version is like, if you want to pass this test, you need to spend the night and not freak out. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. And that was so clear. Again, it's so clear and so acute that I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I have to do this. Whatever is happening right now, I guess I just have to like accept it. You know, I've been out here for 6-7 hours at this point. I have been adrenalized and like so overstimulated, but also like extremely lucid. My senses were so heightened because I'm like in survival mode. You know, there's a potential giant predator out there, possibly more than one, because I heard footsteps in multiple locations at the same time. That's later on too, but yeah. So potentially like multiple giant monkeys. They know my location. They know what I'm doing. They know me somehow. Like, it's a very personal feeling. And now they're asking me to spend the night out here to pass a test. Like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, then that's fine. I'm still in an extreme state of panic and fear, basically. I don't want to say panic at this point. I definitely panicked in the beginning. But at this point, I'm like, all right, I have my like little fixed blade knife out. I'm like, I'm just going to make it very painful for whatever tries to reach in and grab me. And that is how I'm going to go out. That's just, you know, I know this is how I'm going to die. But
do you have any lights with you?
Nope, nothing.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Even if I did, I feel like I wouldn't turn it on.
Honestly. Yeah, I get that too, yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't have a flashlight. I had, like, a lighter and my phone, but my phone was in my backpack, and my backpack was, like, at my feet, and I was not going to move a muscle. Also, like, I couldn't, too, which is, like, so, yeah, so no light.
Infrasound, so, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Like, apparently, like, tigers can do that or something.
Yeah, and it's still a decent hypothesis, but there's just so many layers to what you're describing that...
Yeah, part of me thinks... Yeah, I'll get to what I think about what happened later. So I get this message of like, you need to pass this trial. I don't even know why. You know, I still don't know why. Like, obviously my insight into what this possibly could have been has expanded a lot since I've been doing research for the past 2 years about all the stuff. Again, at the time, I'm like, I'm just confused, you know, confused and in an extreme state of fear. But I just want to make it clear, like, extremely lucid. My senses were so heightened because of the fear. Again, and I know I've said this already, but extreme fight or flight. I can hear noises that I probably couldn't have if I wasn't in the state. You know what I'm saying. I'm basically just trapped in the dark. It stopped raining at this point. I get that message and I start to have these like hallucinations or like visuals, and it looks like my eyes are being filled with like this yellow glowing liquid. It's like filling the veins in my eyes. It's like pale yellow. There's like luminescence to it or something. Like, I don't know. I don't really know how else to describe it other than like, yeah, glowing yellow liquid filling the veins of my eyeballs. And it's kind of looks like a spider webby mesh.
Well, the fact that it seems almost as if it was generated from inside your eyeball sounds like it's some sort of entoptic phenomenon, which is, you know, a lot of the things that you see, like if you press your eyeballs really hard, or if you get your, if you're at the optometrist, a lot of those shapes are all over, you know, shamanic artwork, and are also a lot of them, you know, conform to UFO shapes as well. If you just sort of look at a list of the most common entoptic phenomena. So that's another interesting little detail. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's funny you bring that up, because I started to do research on phosphenes or visual cortex phenomena. Because again, I'm not at a point where I'm trying to rationalize this anymore, because I think it's beyond that, honestly. But, you know, I started to make a checklist of what could that orb have been? You know, was that, again, was it a phosphine? Was it an eye floater? There's Alice in Wonderland syndrome, or there's a bunch of ocular visual phenomena that people are like, oh, that's what UFOs or orbs are. It's like, nope, this was distinctly illuminating a very particular spot in the real world, you know, so whatever it was separate from my own whatever, the visual cortex, you guys know what I mean. So anyway, this weird yellow liquid thing was probably, entopic, what you said earlier. That's what it felt like, at least. I don't think it was actually in front of me. It kind of flies away from me up into the sky, which is weird. This is so hard to describe because, again, it's like entheogenic hallucinations almost. Like, I've done mushrooms a couple times and it kind of looked like that a little bit. Definitely not the same thing, but I'll say that there are some similarities. Something was stimulating my visual cortex is my point. So that happens. I'm like, okay, well, this is weird. Why am I hallucinating right now? And maybe it's the sensory deprivation. I know that's a thing, but this was it very intense, you know, as if I took a lot of mushrooms, which I had not. I'll make it very clear. So yeah, I'm having these weird visual phenomena happen, that strange data download of we need you to pass this trial, please don't freak out. They definitely did not say that you are safe, you know. I would have appreciated that, honestly, but maybe that was part of it. Maybe they wanted to freak me out, is what I kind of think now. Mm-hmm. So after that happened, this is possibly the strangest part. Whatever these things were, they walked up to my tent about, I want to say, 15 feet away on either side. So this is why I say that there were maybe multiple of them, because there were at least two, I think. You know, obviously I don't know, but I didn't see anything. But they walk up to my tent on either side, equidistant. So they're standing it's measured or something. That's the feeling I got. And they start to talk, literally verbalize, and it's like this caveman speak, grunting. And, you know, when I go back and I listen to the Sierra sounds, and, you know, you hear that mumbly, grumbly sound that they make, and it's not exactly the same, but it sounded very, very similar.
Wow.
And it sounded female, and it sounded female, and it sounded old. And they were talking over me. And I didn't know what they were saying, because it didn't sound human. It sounded like goblins or monsters or cavemen. You know, it's very deep, very, old and female. You know, I have nightmares about that, you know, because it was so weird. It was so strange to hear that, you know. Like, I think that the mind speak is one thing, the whooping is another thing, but to hear them verbalize and appear to be either talking about me or talking to me, or I don't know. I think they're talking to each other about me.
They're on either side of your tent at this point.
Yeah. On the open ends too. So
wow. Yeah.
That's, yeah. Wow. So I should have said this earlier, at the head of my tent and at the feet of my tent, that's about 50 feet away.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Dude. Okay. So that was happening and I pass out. You know, I don't know how that was possible.
Oh, yeah, no. Dude. This is an ongoing drumbeat with paranormal encounters in general that has happened to me. Okay. And it's happened to so many people I've interviewed. I don't understand it.
I'm telling you, I have an extremely hard time going to sleep in general,
mm-hmm.
especially after this encounter, but ever since I was a kid too. But
how being in that situation could anyone comfortably fall asleep?
Exactly. Well,
and what I've gotten, sort of where I've sort of Goldilocksed my way to at this point, is that, you know, it's like they're saying, yeah, we can get to you in waking life, but it's a lot easier if we just sort of put you to sleep and we can interact that way.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you about the dreams that I started to have after this, too, because it's like I started to have these like lucid dreams that felt more real than real almost immediately after this encounter with hairy beings, you know, like hairy people that would like run at me, and then I'd wake up and I'd be all sweaty and terrified.
Wow.
But I'll tell you about that in a second or later. So anyway, I pass out. I immediately wake up, and it's like probably 6 a.m. Like dawn is just breaking. Like there's a tiny bit of light out. Maybe it's probably like 5:45, I think. So I look at my I grab my phone, and I'm like, okay, I need to get the hell out of here. And when I'm sitting in my tent, looking at my phone, like to see what time it is, like how can I just trying to remember the path out of here. I hear these little whaps on my tarp, and it's two of them. And it sounded like something was throwing something at my tent. I peek my head out very tentatively because I'm still horrified of my current situation. And I see like little pebbles by my tent. And it's like, those were definitely not in that location beforehand. You know, I'm fairly certain. So whatever this thing is, it's been throwing rocks at my tent for a little bit, you know, like this little pile of pebbles.
Wow.
And it didn't sound like super aggressive. It was more just like, all right, time to wake up. You got to go. You know,
wow.
Yeah, and it's like I leave my tarp, I leave my shelter, and it's like it costs like $30, and I felt really bad about like leaving garbage out there. You know, I went back. I'll tell you about the time I went back, but you know, I went back and got it, and but yeah, I left it. I basically grabbed my backpack and ran, literally ran like the mile back to my car.
I don't think anyone's blaming you for that right now. Yeah. The fact that you went back and got it is noble. Ooh. But I don't think anybody's blaming you for getting out of there at this point.
Well, I've been back like 7 more times, and each time like something extremely strange has happened, but I'll get to that in a second. I forgot something. So when I woke up to not only the rocks being thrown at my tent, but also what sounded like a tree exploding.
Mm. Yeah.
Like it literally, like my first thought was like, huh, someone put like a CO2 canister in the trunk of a dead tree and then like detonated it, you know, blew it. That's what it sounded like a tree exploding from the inside. And obviously I didn't see anything like that, but that's what it sounded like. I run back to my car, I drive home. I'm like, again, in a state of like shock and trauma, basically. I get home, I tell my roommate, and I'm like babbling about like something happening in the woods and camping, and like he was like, okay, like just tell me about it when you feel better or something. It's because obviously I was in a state of like, I don't even know what to call it, just trauma response or something.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I get in my bed, and like it's probably like 2 o'clock in the or 2 or 3 in the afternoon when I get home, and I immediately pass out again, and I have this dream, and the dream is of it looks like a mask made of smoke, and like the eyes are really big, and it looks like Akhenaten from Egypt. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's got that, like, he's a pharaoh that has like a strange shaped head and like big eyes, and it looks a lot like that, but it's like very, it's like white and gray and made of smoke, and then it sort of passes by my field of vision, then turns, looks at me, and then like flies at my face, and then I wake up and I feel this sensation in the center of my brain of like this pop. And I don't know what that was, but it's just an interesting detail, I think. But it felt like a dream within a dream, like very more real than real. I tell my roommate, he's like, okay. And then I just basically try to forget about this for a while until the curiosity becomes too intense for me to ignore it. And I start doing research about what this possibly could be. And that's how I arrived to the whole Bigfoot thing. So, yeah, that's the story of the first encounter that I had. And
wow.
I apologize for kind of rambling, and it's difficult for me to get through that one because that was the one where like there are so many things that happened all at once, and again, yeah, it's like a whole series of events, a web, like you said earlier. So
and that was the moment when the toothpaste came out of the tube. And once it comes out of the tube, it doesn't go back in the tube. Yeah.
I
mean, there's I don't want to hijack your story, but I've had very similar things. And luckily someone was with me. I didn't have to experience it alone. So it was way more dealable because of that. But so many of the things, like something walking around. So I was woken up at like 3:30 in the morning by wood knocks, like real heavy, like a baseball bat smashing against a tree, no more than 50 yards from my tent. And I had the presence of mind to hit record because I'm always thinking of content for the podcast.
Yeah.
I hit record. I captured some of them. I could hear my buddy snoring, and he's in a lean-to tent next to me. I had a real tent, which I'll never not sleep with a real tent. I know it's just a thin layer of nylon between me and whatever else is out there, but I need that. But anyway, I hear him snoring away, and I'm literally shaking in my tent, thinking I've heard so many of these accounts. I know what's coming. And I'm just like, oh, I gotta have to go through this by myself. It's gonna be one of those things where I can't wake him up. Well, luckily he woke up a little bit after I did. He goes, hey, did you hear that? And I said, yeah. Well, then I got up. We proceeded to hear something walking, literally making circles around our campsite for the rest of the night. That face you described, there was something really weird. I looked out in the woods and I saw this. I thought it was a reflection off the tree, and I kept looking at it, and it was so crazy I didn't even tell my buddy. But I kept looking at it, and it looked like a white mask on this tree.
What?
I'm just looking at it again and again, and I'm like, no, it must be the reflection. There must be bark missing from the tree, and I'm not seeing it right. And then in the morning, I looked at it, and there was no bark missing from that tree. I was just like, what was I even looking at?
And you know that some of the earliest descriptions of his visitors that Whitley had in communion were of them in masks as well.
So I have that book and that cover. It's not exactly the same type of head shape and eye shape, but it's very, very similar. Very similar.
Yeah, it's evocative. It really is evocative. Same thing. I'm looking at some pictures of Akhenaten right now.
Did you know about all of this before you had your first encounter, Timothy, or was it like?
Oh yeah, I was into all this stuff. So for me,
I feel like that would be even more scary in a way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if I didn't know, like at least I had some kind of context for it. It helped some, I think. Sure,
right.
But also. Yeah, I can't imagine having been alone. Like, I was so happy my friend was there.
I've ever experienced in my entire life, I'm telling you.
I thought about it, and I thought, you know, if he wasn't, I would have ran. I don't know if I would have had, although I might have been too scared to even get out of the tent. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done if he wasn't there.
Yeah. Thinking back, I'm like, I'm kind of proud of myself that I didn't, like, you know, lose bodily functions or, you know, pee myself or start crying or something like that. I was very... very ready to make it painful for whatever tried to kill me that night.
Yeah.
So I think that was part of it. You know, I did not, you know, I told you that they mentioned, for lack of a better word, that this was some kind of trial.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was part of it, you know, keeping composure under threat of almost certain death by something incredibly horrifying and unknown, you know.
And speaking of dream, we both had dreams in place that night before we were woken up by the wood knocks. I had a dream of small hairy creatures. They were little things that were crawling all over my tent. They were white hairy things with bird heads, of all things.
But,
and then he had a dream of small hairy things that were like brown or black or whatever that ran us out of the campsite. We both had these dreams separate from each other right before we were woken up by these wood knocks.
Okay, so I just remembered something. Oh my God. So the after effects of whatever this phenomena is, the days after this happened, I would wake up and I would see for a split second the shadow or like the figure of two little hairy covered like black entities. And then like I would look at them for a solid a second and a half, and then they would just vanish, you know? Wow. So I got to look at them. You know, but they, I don't know, like something about maybe like the waking, you know, like the dream state or like the, your brain, waves shifting when you wake up or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, something.
Josh said something very similar to something I've been saying recently before. And my take on it has lately, I've begun to feel that dreams are such an important part of this, that if they can't reach you in waking life, they will reach you in dreams.
Yes. So after this event, I've been having these like hairy man dreams consistent, and they're so separate from like my regular dreams that it's so clear to me that it's like, I mean, it's obviously related, but there's just something so distinct and very like hyper real about whatever these dreams are different is my whole point.
I've tried to explain that to people that, and you're using a term that I've used. It's like more real than when you're awake.
Yeah, yes.
And it's so hard to explain to people.
I was just going to say that's, I mean, that's, and that's something you hear time and time again in these contact modalities, is that it's realer than real. You hear that in the NDE stuff. You hear that in, you know, certain alien abduction reports. You hear it time and again that it's realer than real. So if the dream extends into that sort of realm, then it, you know, I mean, the one bit of dream contact that I think I've had with something was the same way. It was like this. Normally, you know, there are these discontinuities that I have in dreams where it's like I'm on a submarine and then all of a sudden I turn around and I'm in a cafeteria, you know. Like this was like, no, I was in my house and I walked downstairs and I came back up. Like it had this extreme sort of continuity to it. So, yeah.
So oftentimes I'll have those dreams and they feel like they're like memories of someone who's not, or yeah, just like someone else. You know, I feel like I'm reliving possibly another human being's memories of an encounter with whatever these things are or something. That's just my feeling about it. They're never like transitory. You know, they're always like I stay in one place, usually like in my house or like my childhood home or things like, you know, places like that. And then like a little hairy person will peek out from behind a tree. And I don't want to spoil anything, but that's what happened the second time I went to the woods. But I had a dream where like a little hairy dude was peeking out behind a tree and then it'll like come out and then like rush me, like run straight at me. And then I'll wake up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and since we're sort of between stories, I just, for anybody who's listening, there are a ton of stories out of this area, both of Bigfoot, but just the supernatural in general.
What?
And out of place animals, you had alluded to puma sounds. Like there have been rumors of mountain lions there for years. They found an alligator there at one point, which is not part of its natural range. But what I find really interesting, and I'm not really entirely sure why I find this interesting, but I heard at one point, and I haven't really verified this, I haven't really looked too hard, but I haven't really verified this, that the Uwari Forest was clear-cut at one point. So really? It was entirely just barren of trees, and all that's new growth since then, since whenever that was, a couple hundred years ago or whatever.
I knew this was one of the first locations that Americans mined gold. When they first colonized the eastern United States.
There you go, Tim.
Yeah, there you go.
They also, I also forgot, again, there are just so many details that I want to get to without sounding too manic, I guess, but there was also a huge deposits of quartz that I noticed while walking to this location during the day. And I also thought, like, huh, that's kind of odd. I've never seen that much, like, quartz or granite before.
Well, and that's important for a number of reasons. You know, you've got on the one end, you've got the sort of new age idea that certain stones and crystals and gems can hold energies. But on the other end of the spectrum, you've got ideas about piezoelectric patterns that might interact with human consciousness and sort of the work of Paul Devereaux and Michael Persinger about tectonic stress theory. The idea that's, I'm not sure if the Uwaris are on a fault line. I might have to look, but there are earthquakes from time to time in North Carolina, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Tectonic stress theory. I've never heard of that.
The idea is that Earth energies, people see anomalous lights in the wake of either before or after earthquakes. So it's the idea that there's not only Earth lights being released, but that also happens in conjunction with some electromagnetic stress that's released by the minerals that are actually interacting with human consciousness as well.
There's definitely some electrical magnetic phenomena in that location for sure, 100%. Oh, but also wanted to, when you're mentioning that, like there are so many accounts of like, you know, anomalous events in this area. Again, like it is just so bizarre to me that I knew nothing about this location before this happened. You know, like literally I Googled like wilderness areas in North Carolina, and this was the closest one to me. So I like looked at the Wikipedia page and it's like, oh, like Special Forces train here for Operation Robin Sage. I was like, huh, that's cool. I guess I'll go here. And that was the extent of my research into this area before the whole Bigfoot thing happened. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're processing this in your day-to-day, or are you trying to forget it?
I'll say it was very difficult for me to go to sleep after this happened for the first like month or so. Like thinking back to that time, that was, I don't want to say it was rough necessarily, but it was definitely, I don't know, very interesting. So when I got home, I felt like my body was different. I went down to my bedroom and I could like sense the energy, and the energy was like very, very bad because I was in a very negative frame of mind at that point in my life. I was like still very upset about a breakup that I had like a year before. Like it was very hard for me to get over that because it ended very traumatically. Okay, that's weird because that kind of reminded me of something. I forgot to mention this. Okay, so I apologize for bounding all over the place in the timeline, but the morning before I left, I saw a shadow figure in my stairwell.
Whoa.
And I had never seen anything like that before, you know? It was just like this head and shoulders and torso, and I didn't see the legs because I only saw it for a split second, but I assumed that they were there, but just the shadow of a human or humanoid. And it was out of the left corner of my eye, and I looked at it for a second, and again, like, I got a good look at it for like a second or a split second, and it just sort of vanished into the wall, or like just disappeared into the air, basically. And I did not think about it. I forgot about it, you know, until all of this happened and I started to like put the pieces together, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that memory came back to me as soon as I got back to that. I like walked down the stairs and I started to feel like this very intense depression energy is what I call it, or what I called it. And it's like, I remembered like, wait a minute, I saw like a weird shadow figure in that spot. I wonder what that was. So,
and that was the day before you left, or the day that you left to go camping? The same day.
The morning, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So strange.
There's more with Alex. We will be having a second episode with Alex for everyone. That'll be next week's show, where we get into more of the strangeness and also his return trips. And on his return trips, he sees some pretty strange stuff in the same location. I wanted to give Josh a chance to promote some things he's got coming up this summer. He's got his new books are coming out very soon, and he's got a lot of appearances this summer. So I recorded this little segment so Josh could mention everywhere he's going to be. You might hear this same segment on the next episode, because we recorded both parts of the interview at once.
So, Josh, you have some appearances coming up?
I do. It looks like conferences are back in rotation. So I'm actually doing three in the latter half of the summer. The first one is August 5th through 7th in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's the Midwest Conference on the Unknown, and it is a stacked roster. I'm so happy to be a part of it. It's like Micah Hanks, Ryan Sprague, Ken Gerhart, Steve Ward, a bunch of people, including Michael Huntington, who's organizing it. So it's just an absolute awesome roster. And then there's like a long weekend at a retreat in Franklin Grove, Illinois, August 11th through 14th at the Worldwide Metaphysical Tribe is what it's called. And I'll be doing a Where the Footprints End talk there. And we're also going to be calling down a UFO. So I've never been a part of that. And seeing as I'm paranormal kryptonite, I kind of wonder if something's going to happen with that or not. But we'll see. And then anyone in the Atlanta area, for the first time after years of saying, hey, can I come? Hey, can I come? Hey, can I come? I will be at DragonCon September 1st through September 5th in Atlanta, Georgia. So come on out to any of those. I'd love to see people.
Nice. Yeah, I have a ton of appearances scheduled for the end of the summer. In fact, I kind of overbooked myself August through October. I should really start talking about those, but I don't have them in front of me, so we'll talk about Josh's appearances. And Josh, boy, there's a book coming out at some point. Do you have any clue when your book's going to drop? Your two book plus set?
Well, depending on the way you look at it, there's up to four books coming out. Because, you know, the Fairy Films collection of essays, I am assured, is always nigh. But like the Fae Folk, always leaving but never gone. It seems to be always coming but never here. But the one that I can be a little bit clearer with is sometime I am hoping, knock on wood, in the next month, we will be releasing Ecology of Souls, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I'm absolutely thrilled with how it's turned out. It's been a real labor of love with a lot of people that would be familiar to listeners of Strange Familiars. Johnny Decker Miller did the art. Barbara Fisher from Six Degrees of John Keel edited it. And Mike Cleland is helping with the layout. So it takes a village to make a paranormal book, I guess. But this is going to be my mic drop for a while. This is the closest thing to Joshua's take on how it all fits together. And as it turns out, all fits together through death, I think. That's where I am right now.
You know, of the two of us, I would have thought I would have gone the death route.
Yeah, I know. I think that I got stuck on this one idea a while back, which was the idea of the psychopomp, you know, the figure that leads people from this life into the next life. And I said, hey, can that be grafted onto the UFO phenomena? And it can, to ever increasing reward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have never been that macabre. And I honestly, like, the stuff that I talk about in this, the stuff that I kind of accept as part of the phenomenon now, is stuff that I've always avoided. I'm thinking specifically about stuff like the idea that it's an aspect of ourselves reflecting back at us, or the idea that these stories of past lives and alien abductions and pre-birth agreements and alien abductions that have always made me sort of curl my toes. I think that there's some meat on those bones, actually, now, after looking at it like this. So it's been, you know, and that's sort of where I kind of like to be. I like to be challenged, and I like to reevaluate my stance, you know, because I think that whenever you get too set in the mindset, that's when a calcified mind is brittle, you know. So hopefully in another 6 months, I'll have a different set of opinions. But for right now, this is the biggie.
I'm sure I'll have you back on to talk about that at the time.
So. Oh, I would love to. I would love to. If we can fit it into one episode.
Well, we can do several. I don't mind. You're at joshuacutchin.com.
JoshuaCutchin.com, JoshuaCutchin, just like a cut on your chin.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Tim. This is great.
"90 Days to the Perfect Puppy." They have a relationship-based approach to training, which helps you and your puppy become perfect for each other. With online sources like video lessons, a secret Facebook group, and one-on-one options are available, they can help you understand how your dog thinks and apply proactive training methods so you and your puppy can become perfect for each other. You can find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy at sidhappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Whether it's potty training, mouthing and biting, fear and nervousness, barking, chewing on furniture, shoes, or other things your puppy shouldn't be chewing on, crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, and more, whatever the issues you and your puppy need help with, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can teach you what to do and also what not to do. Again, you can find them at sidhappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Uranium glass. It's the new thing.
If by new you mean like pre-World War II.
Would they even make it anymore?
Nowadays?
Yeah.
I'm doubting it. Didn't they take Scotch Guard off a kid's pajamas because it was
So these wonderful glow-in-the-dark items we've been offering, they're not going to make them anymore. The glass, anyway. The uranium. Yeah. Third week in a row. But the others have been such a hit, we figured might as well go offer some more here. So we have a crazy psychedelic tea set.
Yeah, I think this is sort of like if Alice Little and the White Rabbit were drinking absinthe instead of tea. This is what they would use.
Cue Jefferson Airplane. It's a set. So you get two cups and two saucers. Mm-hmm. And again, do your research. We just put them on the shelf. We don't use these to eat and drink off of.
My friend just told me about how her mom served some Jell-O out of, they made pieces for the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And she, at a recent family gathering, served some Jell-O out of it. She's like, Mom, maybe you shouldn't do that.
So we have the strange tea set, the glowing tea set that we're offering as our curiosity of the week this week. We might put some other uranium glass up as well.
Yeah, I have plenty more. Yeah, just tell me what you want.
Yeah.
I'll list whatever you... I have everything from vases to dinnerware to just little decorative pieces. And
if you go to the show notes at strangefamiliars.com, you'll see an image of these glowing cups. If you click on that, it should take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase those and other curiosities of the week. While you're at Etsy, please check out our shop. It's Lost Grave, one word. If you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up, though. We've got copies of my books there. If you get them from us on Etsy, they all come signed. My art book, we've got Monsters Under the Hospital Bed. Again, when those are gone. We have some left, but once they're sold out, I won't be printing any more of those. We've got my artwork. We've got originals and prints. Strange Familiars t-shirts, both the classic Awoken Tree design, and we still have a few of the High Strangeness Tour shirts. So check out our stuff. Remember, shopping in our Etsy shop helps us make the podcast as well. All goes into the same piggy bank that helps us make content. While you're on Etsy, check out our friends at Karmic Garden and check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. Do you have anything to add, Allison?
No, not a thing.
Not a single thing?
Not a single thing.
We did restock my books at American Daydream. If you're in the South Central Pennsylvania area and you want to buy my books, you can get them at American Daydream Antiques in York.
It's on the old Lincoln Highway, close to the shoe house, which is a phrase you don't get to say every day.
While you're there, get some other cool stuff from Allison. She's got photos and antique-y stuff. You got some uranium glass in there as well.
Yeah, I have a whole cabinet of it.
All right. Make sure to come back next week for part two with Alex. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, books, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We are on Instagram at Strange Familiars, one word, and you can find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com.
He brought her home. He wooed her for long and golden hair. His mother wrought a mighty care. A weary spell she's laid on her. She'd be with child for many long years. But this poor child she'd never bear. And in her bower she lies in pain. King Willie at her bedhead he did stand, and down his cheeks the sudden tears did run. Back to his mother did run, and he's gone there as a begging son. Say, my true love has this noble steed, the likes of which you ne'er did see. On every part of this horse's mane, there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10. There's hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift shall be your own, if you'll turn back to my own true love, that she might bear my baby son. Child should ever lighter be, nor from sickness will she e'er be free. But she will die and turn to clay, and you will wed with another maid. And sighing said this weary man, as he returned to his home again, I wish my life was at an end. King Willie back to his mother did run, and he's gone there as a begging son. Say, my true love has this golden girl, with true stitched all around the middle. On every part of this girdle's hem, there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10. There's hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift
shall be your own. If you'll turn back to my own true love, that she might bear my baby son. No, of this child shall never like to be, nor from sickness will she e'er be free. But she will die and turn to clay, and you will wed with another maid. Then sighing said this weary man, as he returned to his home again, I wish my life was at an end. She might bear their baby son. She said, you must get down to the marketplace, and you must buy a loaf of wax, and you must shape it out a baby nurse, and you must make two eyes of glass. Invite your mother to the christening day, then you must stand there close as you can be, awful to hear what the witch does say. King Willy, he'd get to the marketplace, and he did buy a loaf of wax, and he did shape it out a bacon nurse, and he did make two eyes of glass. He asked his mother to the christening day, then he did stand there close as he could be, all for to hear what the witch did say. Oh, how she stormed and how she swore, she spied a pain where none had been before. She spied a pain where none could be before. Said, who was it untied the night which knots, braided among his lady's locks? And who was it to gout the combs of care, braided among his lady's hair? And who was it the master kid did slay, that ran and slept underneath her bed, that ran and slept all under her bed? And who was it untied her left shoe string, and who was it that let her lighter be, that she might bear this little baby? And it was William's eye, the night which knots, braided among his lady's locks. And it was Willie to cow the combs of care, braided among his lady's hair. And it was Willie the master kid did slay,
and it was Willie that tied a left shoestring. And it was Willie that let a lighter be. And she did bear a baby boy, and bright the blessing that be them upon. Oh, bright the blessing that be them upon.
Get all the MasterForce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with MasterForce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with MasterForce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.